Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to JS on Politics, and welcome to 2016. And for our special show where we look ahead at what's going to happen in state and local politics this year. So if you roll back the clock and think about last year, at this time, Governor Scott Walker was a leading presidential contender. Russ Feingold was a Stanford professor. And Donald Trump was just a reality star. So a lot can change in a year. That's our caveat at the start as we make some predictions today. And we're going to start at the federal level and show you a little video snippet of Craig Gilbert, our Washington Bureau Chief, talking about what he's looking forward to following in 2016.
Hi, I'm Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and here are a few things I'll be watching for in 2016. First, will the Republican presidential race drag on long enough for the Wisconsin primary to matter? Wisconsin's primary isn't until April 5th, after 32 other states vote. If it's still a real race by then, that's good for the voters of Wisconsin. They'll have a say in the Republican nomination. But it may not be good for the Republican Party, since a protracted race gives the party's nominee less time to rev up his general election campaign. Second, will the nominee be Donald Trump, which could make Wisconsin unwinnable for Republicans and could be deeply damaging to Republican Senator Ron Johnson's reelection bid? All the polling so far suggests Trump has less appeal in Wisconsin than he does nationally. Third, will Paul Ryan's speakership run into trouble in Wisconsin from unruly conservative colleagues in Washington or back home in the form of a primary challenge? It's been smooth sailing so far. How long can that last? Fourth, can Russ Feingold do something no one has done in decades, which is win a Senate rematch he lost 6 years earlier? And can Ron Johnson do something no Republican has done in more than 35 years, which is win a Senate election in Wisconsin in a presidential year? Wisconsin's a great illustration of how quickly things change in politics. Take four big-name Republicans in this state. In a few short years, Ron Johnson went from a political nobody to chairman of the U.S. Senate Homeland Security Committee, and now there's a chance he could be returning to private life not long after he left it. Scott Walker went from embattled first-year governor to national conservative hero to presidential flop. Reince Priebus became the GOP's longest-serving national chairman ever, saw his party dominate congressional, legislative, and gubernatorial elections, but could retire without ever achieving his biggest dream, a GOP White House. And finally, Paul Ryan has gone from budget chairman to vice presidential loser to ways and means chairman to House Speaker in just a few years. If their history's any guide, there's a lot more drama and change to come in 2016.
All right, so we have Craig Gilbert predicting drama and change in 2016. We can anticipate
that's
that.
What he's hoping for.
We all are hoping for drama and things, right?
Yeah.
So here's our panel today. We have Mary Spicuzza, a longtime political reporter in the state, Dan Bice, our Watchdog columnist, and we're joined from Madison by Christian Schneider, an editorial page columnist. I want to start with Christian on the presidential race. I mean, we're just weeks away from the Iowa caucuses, and then several months away from the Wisconsin primary. But what are some of your predictions and thoughts on? Let's start with Iowa and the first primaries. Who's gonna come out on top?
For right now, if you had to guess, it would be Ted Cruz would probably be the winner, or if Mary had her way, Tom Cruise. Trump is fading a little bit, although nationally he's still keeping his numbers up. As far as whether the primary in Wisconsin is going to make any difference by the time we get to that, I honestly don't think it is. I've got my own little factoid, so take this, Craig Gilbert. Wisconsin has voted for the Republican candidate every time since 1976. It's one of only nine states to do so, and that's usually because we've been so late in the calendar that everything is usually buttoned up by then. And that's the case this time, too. Even though it is in early April, 70% of the delegates are already going to be cast at that point. So
no brokered convention, you don't think?
No. I think, you know, if I had to guess right now, I would say Marco Rubio would be the nominee, and therefore, given that pattern, I would think Wisconsin would vote for him in the Republican primary.
All right, let me ask Mary and Dan here. So, Mary, do you have a sense, any thoughts on the Republican nominee? Will it be, as you suggested, Marco Rubio, or is this a Donald Trump surprise, or what are you anticipating?
I'm going to guess that whoever wins Iowa will not be the nominee. I think Ted Cruz has a good chance of winning Iowa, but the past shows that has not led to really a nomination. Didn't they pick Santorum last time?
Right.
So
Huckabee before,
right? Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ted Cruz and then him not being the nominee. I think I'll go with the drama that will ensue, and you know, I still think it could be Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush as the eventual nominee, but I don't see Trump is just a very, I think people have been predicting his demise for a long time, and it hasn't happened. So I think he could still.
I'm more interested in the fallout of what happens. If it's a Marco Rubio, like Christian said, or someone like Jeb Bush, like you said, then it becomes a traditional race. But if it is either Cruz or Trump, then everything is thrown off. It affects the Feingold-Johnson race here. Mm-hmm. I think Johnson's clearly the underdog, but if it's Cruz or Trump, that hill that he's got to climb becomes even steeper. I'm also interested in, and we've been seeing this in since the terrorist attack in Paris, whether the debate in the presidential race is either about the economy or about foreign policy. And Republicans are pushing very hard for it to be foreign policy, even though Hillary Clinton is likely to be the nominee for the Democrats and was Secretary of State, because I think most Republicans think that's a better issue for them than the economy right now.
Yeah, well, let's talk briefly on the Democratic side. Is there anyone who doesn't expect Hillary Clinton to be the nominee, Mary?
Bernie Sanders.
Madison, who love Bernie Sanders. I think that a lot of people expect Hillary to be the nominee. I think it would have to be a pretty severe scandal to bump her from that position. But I think that there will be some very reluctant Bernie Sanders lovers who do not want to embrace Hillary as the nominee.
All right, let's look at a couple of the other national type things. And I, Christian, ask you this question on, this will be the first kind of full year you'll have Paul Ryan going toe-to-toe with President Obama, who's, you know, Ryan's in his, you know, initial, you know, spot as House Speaker, and Obama's in his last term. How do you see that playing out? Who will have the upper hand, or who will be able to get the most done in this coming year?
Yeah, well, you've already seen Paul Ryan use the reconciliation process to get things on Obama's desk. Like the defunding of Planned Parenthood and rolling back Obamacare, which of course he's going to veto and then send back to Congress. So I think a lot of what you're going to see in 2016 from Republicans and from Paul Ryan is setting the stage for the presidential race. They're going to try to do a lot of things that that Obama has to veto or opposes, and so it kind of provides more talking points for the presidential campaigns as we go along.
All right. Now, there's one school of thought out there on the brokered convention idea, and that Paul Ryan would be a nominee. Yeah. I want to ask Dan and Mary, what's the percent likelihood that would happen in your mind?
5%.
5%? Okay, that's reasonably high. I'd take that if I was a Paul Ryan.
Would you?
I mean, it's better than the lottery odds, right?
Maybe. I think there are a lot of Republicans who are hoping for that, who would love to see a Paul Ryan instead of a Donald Trump as the nominee. I don't think it's very likely, but maybe I would go 4%.
You know, the things that are interesting, one thing that's interesting to me is, you know, Paul Ryan had appeared very reluctant to take this position, but now that he's in it, he seems to be trying to create a platform and to try to get ahead of the presidential race by defining what conservatism is and responding to Trump on the Muslim issue. I think it'll be interesting to see if he continues to play this role where he defines what Republicans should be and what the Republican nominee should be running on in the fall.
All right. We're going to shift to the state level now with a tape segment from Jason Stein of our Madison Bureau.
Here's my three things to look for in the coming year. Number one, will the race tighten for U.S. Senate between Republican incumbent Ron Johnson and former Democratic U.S. Senator Russ Feingold? I think it will tighten, and for reasons that have nothing to do with either man. In this state, we are such a closely divided state politically that I expect partisans from both sides will come home to their candidate and make the race relatively close, even if it's not extremely close in November of this year. Number two, I would look to see whether or not Governor Scott Walker fully reengages in the state with an aggressive agenda, as you have seen in his first term after his unsuccessful run for president in 2015. An early chance to see that will be on January 19th when Walker delivers his State of the State address. And then my final thing to look for in 2016 is the race for president in Wisconsin. Do Republicans make this a close contest in Wisconsin? Now, the GOP has not won Wisconsin, not won Wisconsin for the White House since 1984 when Ronald Reagan beat Walter Mondale in a national landslide. However, if Republicans can keep this state close, as they did with George W. Bush's two runs for president in 2000 and 2004, that bodes well for their party. And it also bodes well for Ron Johnson for the reasons that I talked about earlier. But if Democrats can keep a comfortable hold on Wisconsin as they have in the recent past, then obviously that makes the work for the Republican nominee extremely difficult.
All right, so that was Jason Stein's take on what to look for in 2016. I'm going to start with Dan on this one, and because one of the overriding questions for people is, where will Scott Walker's approval rating be at the end of the year, and what will he do to shore that up? Do you have a sense of what he is doing?
I raised the question earlier, whether he was relevant or not, but the more I think about it, he's clearly relevant. It's just, is he relevant in a good way or a bad way? And the way to think of that is he going to be a drag or a draw in the fall? And so he's got a little bit of time to deal with that. But since he dropped out of the race on September 21st, was it? Yeah, it was September 21st. He's not done a whole lot to change that. And, you know, the thing to watch is to see how candidates embrace or don't embrace him. And the first race right now, the Rebecca Bradley race, Justice Bradley has not brought him into into her campaign or embraced him. She's had other people throw in fundraisers for her, but Walker's not been mentioned at all by her, even though he appointed her circuit judge, appeals court judge, and Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, well, Mary, what's your sense? Because certainly the presidential candidates would like to have a Walker endorsement, right? Or some of them are already soliciting his backers for support and things. So what can Walker do to keep himself in the middle of the action?
I think that conservatives still really rally around him. I think that he still has a lot of support among his base. It's really independents. He's really struggled with, some Republicans regret that he ran for office, but I think they will still back him if he's endorsing somebody. But I think he's, turned off a lot of independents or moderate Republicans, and I don't know that somebody in a split district is going to want to have Walker, next to them in their photo ops, because that might turn off voters who are, fiscal conservatives but socially liberal, and just other voters.
Yeah, Christian, what do you think? I guess what a difference a year makes, because this time last year everybody would have wanted to be part of the Scott Walker action and aura. But what do you sense in terms of, will people want to run with his support? Do we want to run away from him? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to have all that much effect in the fall elections. I think he may have an effect in the spring election, in the Supreme Court election, where you have, you'll have Joanne Kloppenburg and the other candidates actively trying to make the case, tying Justice Bradley to Scott Walker. But I mean, you have to remember, he was never less popular than during all the Act 10 stuff, where he was down in the mid 30s in terms of approval rating, and yet he snapped back and he won two more elections after that. So I think he's going to be kind of on the back burner as the presidential race and the U.S. Senate race gets going. So I don't know that he's going to be that much, that much out front.
I think it's true that the presidential, who's at the very top of the ticket, will be more important. But you have to believe people running for the legislature are going to make Walker. If you're a Democrat, why would, and if his approval rating's still in the 30s, or in Milwaukee County, his approval rating's in the 20s. It's hard for me to think that you would completely ignore that. So,
well, he's not going to win anything or much in Milwaukee County anyway, or the Republicans aren't anyway. And, you know, those races are going to be so drowned out, so low level. I mean, people aren't even going to know who's running.
But, you know, the key area is going to be Green Bay. And will people there, particularly if it seems like one of the candidates in the presidential race is out front, I just disagree with Christian that he will be irrelevant for the fall elections.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the other statewide things. There's legislative races this fall. The Democratic and the presidential turnout will be different because of the presidential turnout. Democrats, they pick up or lose seats in the legislature?
I saw someone say the other day that the Republicans would gain seats, but I think almost everybody agrees that they might pick up a seat or two in the Senate, and that they're about as low as they can go in the Assembly, and I think they will have gains there. Will they have enough to take control of either House? You know, I don't think so.
All right, Christian, I'm going to ask, pick one surprise for the November elections in your mind. What would be the most, surprising thing to you, or what can we watch for?
Let's see. My surprise comes with caveats.
Come on.
He's running. Yes. No.
So you're running for office, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm about to announce it. If Republicans nominate Marco Rubio, I think he wins. I think he wins Wisconsin. He breaks the 32-year streak.
Is that a prediction or a hope?
That's a prediction. I think he's the only. I think he's the only one that could actually break the streak.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to shift to the local level, and we have a tape segment from James Causey, another editorial page columnist, talking about what he's hoping for and watching for in 2016.
The things I would like to see in 2016 are like a smorgasbord of issues that I think a lot of people would agree on. They include jobs, homicides, poverty, guns, carjacking, and sentencing by judges. Let me start with poverty. We know we have a huge poverty issue in this city. A study recently came out that said 51% of people born into poverty stay into poverty. That has a lot to do with the lack of livable wage jobs. And when it comes to jobs, the politicians running for mayor today need to have a plan for the 35th Street corridor. The 35th Street corridor on the north side must look or resemble the Menominee Valley. I mean, that's the only way to solve our job problems on the north side. And there needs to be jobs on every single level, from entry level all the way up to jobs that pay over $25 an hour. As far as homicides are concerned, believe it or not, police are not responsible for the high number of homicides. Homicides are a societal problem. And until we address the issues of poverty and jobs, we're going to always have this as an issue that comes up. As far as guns and what Obama recently said that made people upset, we have to come up with ways to close this gun show loophole. Quite simply, guns should not be as easy to purchase as a pack of gum. As far as carjackings, I live in the Sherman Park neighborhood, and I've seen an increase in car thefts. And just recently, two young women stole a car, and they crashed it into two men who were just simply driving, two men in their 50s, and they killed them. We have to address this carjacking issue because people are stealing cars to commit other crimes, and that puts all of us in danger. And as far as sentencing, judges have to be harsher on their sentencing of these people. You can't just give some people a slap on the back of the hand because they put everybody's lives in danger. Those are just some of the things I'd like to see in 2016. What about you?
All right, well, that was James Causey's take on the local scene for 2016. And we're going to start with Mary Spicuzza here, who's been covering City Hall and some of the local races. Let's just start the question. Do you think Mayor Tom Barrett is vulnerable or not? Because if not, we'll get to the next questions.
I don't think he will win by as big of a margin as he has won in the past. And I think that the spike in homicides has hurt him. But I do think he'll win. Maybe he'll be in the 50s or low 60s instead of an overwhelming majority, but I still think he'll win.
I think the issue to watch is to see if any third-party groups think it's worth their while to jump in and spend money here. If they do, then it might be somewhat more competitive. If they don't, then it'll be less competitive.
All right, so if you're, you know, Bob Donovan or Joe Davis out there hoping to, you know, break through, what do you need? You need a lot more snowfall and bad plowing, or what's going to get
you
might
really
get your attention?
You might rob a couple banks too, but to catch up in terms of the fundraising and stuff. Yeah, you want, but you know that even with the snow plowing, it's not a huge issue. It's funny how, like, the streetcar. There seems to be a great deal of outrage outside of Milwaukee, but not so much inside the city. It will affect a couple of aldermanic races. But, yeah, you want lots of snow and some sort of scandal.
All right. So let's look at the county executive's race here. And, Dan, I'll ask you first on the, you know, Chris Abele, Chris Larson. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Have you seen the dynamics change at all? I mean,
Chris Larson, for someone who's running as an outsider in this race, is running probably one of the quietest campaigns in the history of mankind. Right now, I'm assuming that he's raising money, but outside of that, he's not even getting much free media by criticizing Abele on various issues.
Yeah, have you seen any indication of that he's doing a lot of fundraisers or speaking to a lot of groups or any?
That's what I said. It's a very quiet. Yeah. You know, if you're a supporter, you're hoping that he's doing two things: one, lining up ground troops, and two, raising a lot of money. But we won't know if he's done that. He's not on TV right now. There's no radio ads for him as well. I guess we'll find out at the end of January how much money he's raised.
All right, let's look, you know, down the ballot a little bit at, you know, the aldermanic races or others at City Hall or the courthouse. What do you see, any surprises brewing out there, Mary, or what things are you watching for?
I think some incumbents will lose. I mean, there are 57 people who filed to run for office for four citywide races and then the 15 aldermanic seats. So, you know, some of those are just going to be, you know, at least heading into the primary, there are like six people running for one seat. So I think that people will get hammered on the streetcar. I think they'll get hammered on crime, probably some plowing, but I don't know how much outrage that's going to drum up at the ballot box. I don't see the February election as being a huge turnout election, though.
But the April one will be.
The April one will be, yes.
I mean, the April will bring out people who don't traditionally vote in races like that. So it's sort of unpredictable how that's going to play.
Well, you do have the dynamic on the April election that, I mean, it's less, you know, pronounced in the city election, but that you'll have the Republican primary going on it for president, probably a lot more competitive than
the
Democratic
side. And it might actually matter,
right? And you'll have the Rebecca Bradley race going on there. So does that change the dynamics at all for,
well,
say, Bob Donovan
helps,
or something?
Yeah, it would help Bob Donovan. Mm-hmm. But again, people here, Mayor Barrett seems to be the Teflon mayor. He's the streetcar doesn't seem to hurt him, the snow plowing problems. He apologizes. In other cities, that would be, you know, huge, huge news, but it doesn't seem to be that here.
All right, let's shift briefly to crime as an issue, and homicides last year were a big overriding concern. Do you have any sense, Mary, that things are, that the politicians have sort of responded appropriately to it, or are doing something different to get our arms around that, or will we be talking next year about, you know, another, you know, high year of homicides in the city?
You know, a lot of that is tied to national trends, where we really saw a spike in homicides in a lot of major cities last year. So I think that some of the things that Mayor Barrett's trying to do, he flew out to D.C. and went to President Obama's speech about gun control. I think that among his supporters, they will see him as trying to do things, you know, in terms of whether they can crack down on, like, auto thefts and shootings. I guess that really remains to be seen.
All right, well, we're going to turn now to some of our viewer predictions and suggestions. And, Christian, we haven't forgotten about you, so I'm going to throw this first one to you for your take. And this is from Looking Ahead, who says, Scott Walker will not see any increase in job approval ratings and use that as an opportunity to take a cabinet job in a Paul Ryan administration. So give us your odds on that one, or your thoughts on that.
So he's obviously predicting that marijuana is legal in Wisconsin as well in 2016.
It wasn't included, but it's implied, I think.
You know, from your keyboard to God's ears, but I'm afraid that's not going to happen. You know, it would have to happen through a brokered convention, which, you know, is often rumored but never happens. And then, you know, I don't see that happening. I would probably put money against that.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be something just as reporters, with the of a rooting interest, just to see a brokered convention?
Oh, no, so
yeah, that would be great.
A heck of a story.
Lots of drama.
That would be awesome. Throw it up.
Is there anybody can? You could, I mean, you or I.
Tom Cruise.
That's the Tom Cruise path. There's a path, Mary. There's a path.
Is he Republican or Democrat?
What? That is a good question.
All right, I'm going to throw this question or this prediction to Dan. This is from We Can Dream, and it's the prediction was Mayor Tom Barrett and Chris Abley will both lose in April thanks to a streetcar scandal and Buck scandal, respectively.
That's a prediction.
That's a prediction.
Yeah. Another supporter of the marijuana referendum. But yeah, I think right now you would have to say that those two are favorites and. That right now there is no streetcar scandal or what was the other scandal?
Bucks scandal. I assume it means for the arena, not the starting lineup or something.
That would have to be quite a scandal.
They would first have to break ground.
Bango's going to get you caught up in the John Doe scandal.
Boom. Ooh, there you go. You've been waiting for that one, haven't you, Chris?
You know, one thing.
You just thought of it.
One thing that I am interested in locally that we didn't touch on is this invisible. Primary for Gwen Moore's seat. I mean, she's going to run again this year, but, you know, she's eventually not going to run again, and you have people like Lena Taylor, Mandela Barnes, and others who are jockeying to try to see who her successor will be.
All right, I'm going to give this one to Mary for first take. This is from Roger B., who says, predicts Walker will revisit his stance on granting pardons. There's too much money available from us ex-cons. I was 17, 47 years ago, and committed a burglary. Isn't it time that I and others were deemed worthy by our governor-elect? Now, we saw the pardon thing come up just in the Stephen Avery thing this week when Skywalker's not given any pardons, right?
No.
Do you see any change in that?
No pardons. I don't see a difference. I think that he's pretty much took office saying, I'm not doing pardons, and he's not.
I think he decided the potential for that to blow up is much greater than any good that comes from it, weighed that and said, I don't want to do it.
Not even making a murderer can change his mind.
All right, and we have one that came in from Go Packers. This is more of a question. It says, who do you think might be the next Democratic for governor in Wisconsin? So we're a little ahead. This is more of a 2018 prediction, I guess. But who do you think to see out there, Dan, is on the Democratic side who could?
Well, no one saw Mary Burke running this far out. To tell you the truth, I have no idea who would be. Ron Kind is someone who's discussed frequently, but he's one of those who ends up discussing it, thinking about it, and not ever running for anything but his current seat. I'm not sure.
Well, you've got a Democrat that has
Christian. Go for it.
Well, it's not going to be Tom Barrett. Yeah, I can tell you that.
You've got a Democrat that has won statewide so for that reason, I'll just say Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, I don't see Tammy running.
All right, you got a name for us, Mary?
I probably not.
I think again they might try to go. From somebody from the private sector because they just have a pretty thin bench when it comes to people, you know, who are elected now who can win statewide.
And the other leaders, I mean, do you Peter Barca, I mean, those sort of legislative leaders, but there's no one to inspire. I mean, the other name that we didn't discuss is Chris Abley. If he wins the election now, there's been a lot of talk that he's interested in running eventually. And he would be a different sort of candidate since he has been more of a fiscal conservative, social liberal, fiscal conservative as Milwaukee County. But, you know, he has a number of liberals who don't like him. He would be my wild card.
He does have money, too, so that helps.
All right. Well, we're going to put the tape of the first part of this show in the vault for a year from now, and this last little snippet we'll put in the vault for 2019 to see how we did.
We should burn it.
But the one prediction we can safely say is that next week we'll be here back at the same time and the same locations. We hope you'll join us for another episode of JS on Politics.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.